I am often asked whether the marshalling is my favorite role. And there are so many reasons for me to love this task, especially that it is not difficult for me to answer, yes, of course it is. I love it above all because it has great dramatic possibilities. The only roles which really interest me are those in which I can portray characters, not pale, unreal theatrical figures whose adventures do not touch me. The artist must experience the joys and sorrows of his role. He must be able to transform himself into the character which he is playing. Only by this means can he be convincing and impelling. The voice is only the instrument of feeling, which must flow from the soul in order to touch the listener. The more I throw myself into a character, into my role, the more I am conscious of the greatest blessing, the complete power of self-transformation. I am speaking to you today in the character of the Marschallin, this delightful woman around whom all the spell of 18th century Austria shines. A light-hearted philosophy is the best one. The Marschallin understands how to resign with a smile, in which lies much wisdom. In sending her lover away, she finds the same smile from which in the first act she turns away from her mirror. This mirror which tells her cruelly and clearly it is finished. The Marschallin will not fight for that which has slipped from her hands. She does not attempt to close her eyes to the truth. Smiling and fully prepared, she endures the verdict of approaching age. In the same way, she renounces Octavian without a struggle, although she, the experienced one in love, might perhaps have won him back. Perhaps Octavian would have turned away from Sophie, even at the 11th hour. I always feel that very strongly. But she is too wise, too noble. Her hand is too light to want to hold him. I love this magnificent woman, who understands how to emerge from this tragic conflict with graceful charm, as though it were a cheerful comedy. Perhaps I sense with doubled intensity the countless finesses of this role, because formerly I sang both the other soprano's role, and felt and loved each other, each one deeply. The performance of the Marschallin was, so to speak, the crowning act for me. When quite a young beginner in Hamburg, I sang Sophie, that graceful character, radiating virginal charm, and later the fiery young Octavian. My friend Elisabeth Schumann was for several years my Sophie. Countless memories, exquisite performances are connected with them. Then one day a call came for me to the London Covent Garden Opera. In the contract it was specified that I must sing this role which had always fascinated me, but I did not consider myself at this time mature enough. However, I learned the role, for fate forced me to prove my strength. The London contract depended upon whether I would undertake the role of the Marschallin or not. I risked it and won. Bruno Walter conducted. It was my first collaboration with him. Baron Ochs was the unforgettable Richard Meyer, whose most worthy successor to this role, I consider, is our exquisite Emanuel Liszt. Octavian was Delia Reinhardt from Berlin, and Elisabeth Schumann, the bewitching Sophie. The Marschallin is not a path which can be mastered easily, and the fine success that I achieved by singing it in London did not blind me to the knowledge of how much I had still to learn in order to make this character really live. I have sung it now for years. It is scarcely possible to imagine its absence from the Salzburg Festival program. It made me very happy when Richard Strauss, after he had conducted it with me for the first time, wrote me a delightful letter about my interpretation. There are also amusing episodes connected with this role. When we were making gramophone records of the whole opera, they had forgotten to call me for the last scene, in which I only have to sing, "Ja, ja." Elisabeth Schumann sang these two notes for me and imitated my voice so perfectly that no one is aware of the fault. but I suppose I ought not to tell you this. So do please forget it quickly. Once in the first act of the Levee scene, when an animal dealer appears, they sent my little Pomeranian dog Jimmy onto the stage. He sat in the arms of the dealer, petrified with terror at the loud music, which he hates, by the way, and at the shrieking people on the stage. He did not recognize me in his terror. I took care not to speak to him so as not to endanger my dressing table by one of his boundless outbursts of joy. Quiet animals are always selected who sense the noise of the stage with philosophic calm. But the sweet white dog that we now have at the Metropolitan proved at the rehearsals to be very temperamental and unruly. He caused many interruptions and discussions. I think he has now become accustomed to it and behaves with dignity. At any rate, he is treated with the attention and special politeness due to his staff. It is also always a dangerous moment when in the same season the chef appears with a menu. They always write for me crazy ideas for dishes. It is often difficult for me to keep a straight face when I read of dainties which are to grace my table. I'm sure the hair of every housewife would stand on end. Tragedy and comedy appear side by side in this bewitching opera. It is the Viennese atmosphere of the long vanished beautiful past, the truly Austrian, then and now. You know that Vienna is my home. Isn't that another reason why I should particularly love this aristocratic Marie Therese? Oh, but I see now my time is up, which has been kindly given to me to chat about one of my favorites. And I will say adieu in order to return to you as the Marshalling in the last act.
Thank you very much.